Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. What's happening, Bob?
Not much, boys. How about you?
Well, we're dissecting the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Lots to dissect.
I would say so. What's your focus when you look at what's happened with this team recently? There's a lot of different layers and talking points.
Probably a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
In the glass with a couple of drops full in it, I would say it's a good thing they had the third period they had. It was a little something to cling on to. Doesn't excuse the way they played in the first 40. Doesn't excuse the way they've played lately. And I think a lot of Leaf fans wrestle with, what's the problem here? Is the problem a personnel issue? Is the problem just, you know, they're just not playing well? And on the personnel issue, I mean, it's exacerbated by, you know, they're on defense. There's no Dermott, no Gardner. So two of their top six fixture defensemen are not playing. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just pointing that out. And you obviously, Kapanen was out last night and whoever else is out. But to that point, you know, for a lineup that's got Tavares and Marner and Matthews and Nylander and Johnsson and Kadri and, you know, a veteran like Marleau, and you've still got Riley. See, think about it this way. You've still got Riley, Hainsey, and Zaitsev. So three of their top four defensemen for how long now? For a long
three,
time.
Yeah, 2 years anyway.
Yeah.
2 years.
You know, the only one missing from that group is Jake Gardner.
Right.
So, and at various times, Leaf fans have been ready to plan the parade with even with Hainsey and Zaitsev in the top four. And so now I don't think you can use that as an excuse as to why things they should be better with the guys that are in the lineup. And so for me, I thought it was, at least in this game, unlike the Tampa game, they showed some signs of life. They came back. They almost tied it up. And that doesn't excuse what happened in the first 40 minutes. And on the first 40 minutes, yeah, I don't like the execution of their defensive zone play and all that kind of stuff. But I got to be honest with you. Freddie wasn't very good.
No.
Two of the first, I mean, the first goal was a deflection, so you kind of want to give him a free pass, but it leaked right through him.
Yeah.
And the other goal was really soft. So it's tough when you come out and you don't get goaltending. And if anybody should get a free pass, it should be him because of the stellar net minding he's provided all season long. But in the narrow focus of that game last night, that kind of goaltending is not going to win you anything, and it dug your hole real deep.
The one guy who's not getting a pass from anybody is the man behind the bench. Like, Babcock is in the firing line in Toronto. You know the way Toronto reacts.
Yep.
You know how people are feeling about it, and they look at him. He's, you know, he's a stubborn guy. He's got a game plan. He's got a resume that speaks for itself. But defensively, this team is not very good, and he sticks to the same game plan, and it doesn't really alter, and I don't expect that it will between now and April 10th.
Yeah, and so, you know, you got to, I guess, if you're going to be a vocal critic of the Maple Leafs, you got to decide whether you're on team criticize the coach or team criticize the manager for the lack of personnel that, you know, isn't getting it done, or whether you're going to criticize the players for not executing. And, I mean, I'm sure there's probably plenty of blame to go around on all the levels. In the meantime, it's, you know, small sample size, some adversity. As I said before, after the Tampa game, consider it a blessing that it's happening now. You've got an opportunity to try and fix all these things and get the wake-up calls so that you don't go cruising to the playoffs thinking everything's hunky-dory, and then you get there and things fall apart. So they got a lot to work on.
What do you make, Bob, of the idea? I think Button really articulated it well last night on SportsCenter, just talking about how this really aggressive puck pressure defensive style that Babcock is asking them to play, you know, if it's not too much for the group when they're healthy, it becomes a little too much for this group when they're a little depleted.
Yeah, I don't think Mike's changed the way that they've played, and they've been successful playing this way, but it's always in the results and the execution. And so when you're losing, the coach isn't very smart.
Yeah.
And when you're winning, the players tend to get a pat on the back, and everybody says, that's what you get when you've got star players and
true.
And what have you. But, so, you know, some of the time when the Leafs win, they've outscored their problems on defense. And, you know, and I'm sure Babcock, you know, you heard him talk glowingly about the St. Louis Blues defense. I'm sure he'd like a lot more guys that are 6'3" or 6'4" that have played in the league for a long time than – than filling in with guys like Marincin and Hall and what have you. But it is what it is. And
they're tall. Those guys are tall. You might not like them.
Yeah, that's right.
But they're long, as he said. But it's an interesting one, though. You know, Hayes and I were talking about earlier, like, the one thing you maybe could criticize Babcock for is he doesn't exactly veer, right? Like, he is going to continue to hammer the plan that he believes will work. Is that a fair criticism? Or?
I think that's your greatest strength is always your greatest weakness.
Yeah.
For all of us, I've always believed that. So if you're a stubborn individual, you know, you live and die with your decisions. People would say that about him, and then he switched the lines up, and, you know, so yeah, I see some flexibility there. I think he just wants to win, and he'll push a lot of buttons to try and make that happen. But I don't know how dramatic any team veers from their style over the course of the season. There's a certain way a team expects to play defensive zone coverage, and I'm not sure very many teams radically alter that because they go on a losing streak.
Yeah.
Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider in studio. Here's a headline up on TSN.ca. I just went up 5 minutes ago. Insider trading.
Uh-oh.
If the Oilers miss the playoffs, don't expect McDavid to ask out. I think they're probably going to miss the playoffs.
They're going to miss the playoffs.
They're going to miss the playoffs. So I don't know if this was you reporting it or somebody else.
No, this was LeBron. It was the last item in insider trading, and we joked that he was going to radio himself somehow.
Well, here we go. We're
talking
on the radio.
About it, and somehow the last item in insider trading got the top billing.
Absolutely.
On the on the tweet.
Well, I mean, it's McDavid.
Those are first world insider problems.
That's right.
But the point Pierre was making was, listen, there are going to be some people who say, how much longer if the Oilers miss the playoffs, and as you say, it's less if and more likely that they will, how long is it going to be before the best player in the game who's had 300-point seasons now is so fourth year in the league and the third time he's missed the playoffs. How long is it going to be before he says, uncle, come on.
Yeah.
I'm in the first year of an 8-year deal and we're terrible and we're looking for a new general manager and we're looking for a new head coach and my goodness, you know. So, and Pierre's simple point was that McDavid's a team guy. He's the heart and soul of that team. He wants to fix it. But at some point, the patience has to run out. When that is, who knows? And that's probably, and I think the point Pierre was making is that's why this general manager hire that Edmonton is going to make is so critical. Because if they don't get it right and they spin their wheels at all, now you're treading into that territory where, so you got to, okay, so new GM gets hired postseason, comes in, starts making moves. So let's give them at least a year to 2 years. If they're still just spinning their wheels at that point, and McDavid's now 3 years into an 8-year deal, and they still haven't, they've only made the playoffs once in his tenure as an Edmonton Oiler, you know, I think it's predictable where that storyline goes.
Well, who do you think has the first conversation with him? Do you think it's it Cates, is it Nicholson, or is it the new GM? Because I would think if I'm in Edmonton, I got to get to this guy the season
ends. Honestly,
I
think there's constant dialogue. When you've got a player like Connor McDavid, those players tend to be apprised of how things are proceeding and what the various plans are.
Do you think he's included in any of the discussions about GM?
I don't believe that, and I don't believe he wants to be. He's a hockey player. He wants to play. He's got his job, and, you know, famous do your job, Bill Belichick stuff, but
right.
It is. It's do your job. McDavid's doing his job. Now the Oilers, Bob Nicholson and Darryl Cates, need to do their job, hire a general manager, and that general manager needs to do his job, hire a good coach, and that coach, and then everybody on down the line does what they're supposed to do. Just do your job, and that's it.
I've seen a couple of the media types in Edmonton peddling the idea of Keith Gretzky actually sticking around. Is that actually valid? Could he be in the running? Or?
Yes and no. I mean, I think they've liked what he's done coming in. And I think they want to be fair to him and say, hey, listen, are you interested in the job? And I suspect he probably is. And so they're saying, okay, well, you know what? You're here. You're doing the job now. We will make you part of that process. And that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that they're just going to give it to him. And it doesn't mean that they have no plans to give it to him. What it means is they're going to go out and they've got, I believe, 8 to 12 names. Some of whom they get access to now, some of whom they won't be able to access until various seasons are over. And he'll be one of the guys. And, you know, if he's the best guy, well, then they'd feel confident in giving him the job after they've done the thorough process. But if he's not, then if they can find somebody better, then they will.
How long do you think it actually takes, Bob? Like, do you see any roadmap to a quick turnaround here, given the baggage they've got to get rid of if they're going to make that turnaround?
You know what? In a way, I do. Like, I think one of the things about today's game in the NHL, and it's been true since the salary cap came in, but even much more so lately, teams get good or bad in a hurry.
Yeah.
Every year, there's two or three teams we think are going to be hot garbage, and they're in the playoffs at the end of the year. And every year, there's two or three teams we think for sure, are playoff teams, and they end up being hot garbage. So, you know, they got big holes. There's no question. The depth after McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins up front is pronounced. The lack of a star on defense or a legit top pairing guy, as well as some of the depth guys. But it's funny. It's going to take a general manager to come in. I think the number one thing they need to do is they got to get creative right away and figure out how they're going to lose some contracts and get out of the salary cap hell they're in. It's one thing to be as bad as the Oilers have been for the last couple of years. It's another thing to do it as a salary cap team that's got all sorts of financial pressure on them. You know, those two things shouldn't go together. If you're that low in the standings and you're underperforming, then boy, oh boy, you should have the ability to go out and sign some free agents. And again, as long as Connor McDavid's there and you could open up some cap room and you've got the right people as the manager and the coach, it could still be an attractive place. There'll be lots of players that would say, yeah, you know what? I understand that things haven't gone well for them for the last 14 years or yeah. thereabouts.
Yeah.
But you know what? I bet on this McDavid kid, and if I get a chance to play with him, that would be fun.
Well, what if you just surrounded him with a bunch of $750,000 salary guys that could really skate? You know, like wouldn't that be a start?
I think you might need more skill than that. But,
well, but I mean, but, speed wouldn't be. But there's they no don't question, have enough speed.
Yeah, they, and you know what? And they feel like they've got guys coming. They feel like there are guys in Bakersfield. And Jay Woodcroft, who took a lot of heat as an assistant coach with Todd McClellan, because I believe he was running the power play, and the power play under McClellan wasn't very good. And so when they rejigged all the coaching staff and then McClellan got jettisoned, Woodcroft got sent to coach the American League team, and they've been on this incredible winning streak, and, mm-hmm. and things are going really well, and the kids are really developing, and guys like Tyler Benson and others. So they do have some bottom half of the lineup guys that are not devoid of skill and the ability to play the game who are coming. So that's helpful on that front. And if they could sort out the Puljujarvi thing, I don't know if they can or whether he's going to sort it out, but, you know, that would be helpful too. They're going to need a creative mind that gets that general manager job, because it's not just, I'm going to add this guy in free agency or I'm going to go make this trade, because right now they're hamstrung by the finances of it.
Well, they could always win another draft lottery. You know, that could help. And it was announced today that the lottery is going to be April 9th. I think makes a lot of sense.
I love the Tuesday after the regular season.
Right.
I hated that going to the end of the month that they did
right
for the last number of years.
In between an intermission, it never made any sense.
Nah, I love
this. Should be a standalone event.
Plus, the night before the playoffs begin, now you know, like, regular season's over. You've got your order outside of the part of the playoffs that determine order of selection for the teams when they get eliminated. It's nice to know on April 9th this team's what the order is, and it helps to. It helps the teams that are picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, especially in the top 10. Now they're going to know before they go to the under-18 World Championships. Now they know before all the other, you know, things that are going on, mm-hmm. college hockey, Frozen Four, whatever the case may be. You're going to know all that stuff before you go.
Big news in Ontario this week. Shane Wright has been granted exceptional status. He was with that Don Mills team that I think they're still playing, as far as I know.
Yeah, they're in the OHL Cup right now. I was out the other night.
Yeah, I heard about that. Someone sent me a text, a buddy of mine. He's got a kid on Halton. He's like, yeah, Mackenzie's down here. Why aren't you here? I'm like, well, I'm doing the radio right now. And really, I just don't care to go out there and watch them. But my obviously, he's exceptional. I mean, how good is this Shane Wright kid?
Yeah, he's a very good player. And I always shy away from going too crazy on these kids that get exceptional status. Because, unfortunately, the terminology of exceptional and what it became, because it started with John Tavares and Aaron Ekblad and then Connor McDavid. And so it became the equation of, if you get exceptional status, it means that you're going to go first overall in the NHL draft and you're going to have a star-studded NHL career. And then along comes Joe Valeno and Sean Day and what have you. And it should be more, it's more about... They're trying to determine which 15-year-olds are so good that they should go directly to junior hockey as opposed to having to play midget for a year, their minor midget year. That's all it is. And nobody is saying if you get exceptional status, you are guaranteed to be the next Connor McDavid. Yet, that's the human nature part of it. So anyways, having said all that, Shane Wright's a hell of a player. And now I'll go one step further and radio myself terribly. I'm going to say he's not Sidney Crosby, but when you watch him play, he's got the same body type as Sidney Crosby. He doesn't skate like Sidney Crosby per se, but he plays a similar style. He's strong on pucks. He's got a low center of gravity. He can really change direction. He can make plays, tremendous passer. He's got a great shot. So make plays, score goals. And he's like, as I say, I think he's probably 5'11", 190 pounds, 195 pounds.
Oh, really?
So he's
built.
He's a well-built kid that's got the low center of gravity, and he's sort of a right shot. And when you see him line up for a face-off, you look at him, and outside of the fact he's a right shot and Sidney's a left shot, you kind of go, oh, wow. Like, that's funny how similar their physical characteristics are. And I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, saying this kid's going to have the same impact in junior hockey or the NHL that Sidney Crosby had. But I'm just saying that in terms of physical characteristics and the style they play are very similar.
We assume he's going first overall?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
in the O? He'll go first overall for
there's
sure?
No question. And, you know, unless he was one of those kids that came in and said, I'm not going to this place.
I don't want to play at that place.
Right, yeah. Now, Kingston's almost certainly going to have the first overall pick. Flint started to win some hockey games in the second half. Good on them. But
good for Shane.
You know.
Stay in Ontario.
Exactly. And the, you know, I think back to when Connor McDavid got exceptional status. And, you know, Erie at that time was viewed as an outpost. They weren't very good. And he didn't even give any thought to, I'm not going to report here. Mm-hmm. I want to go report there. So credit to him. And I don't know what's going on with the Wright kid, but I assume it's the same sort of deal.
Right.
And that he'll be happy to go to Kingston or what have you.
Always good seeing you, Bob. Thank you for popping in studio. We'll see you again soon.
Sounds great.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider.